Psalm 145. I stand here tonight feeling very thankful. Very thankful. And very humbled and very overwhelmed by the goodness of the Lord to His people. Our Lord has been so good to us. He has been so good to us. And I'm not just talking about this congregation. I'm talking about every sinner who has been saved by grace. Every sinner. But in thinking of the Lord's dealings with us, with this congregation, I am so glad that He crossed your paths with Henry Mahan. He did that. And your path with Henry Mahan, and your path with Henry Mahan, and yours. And I'm so glad that the Lord brought Brother Tom Harding here all those years. Aren't you so thankful for all those years? Right here. All those years. I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for what the Lord did in bringing the gospel and blessing the gospel. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to the Lord for putting that desire in Brother Tom, and I'm thankful to Brother Tom for being faithful to come. I'm very, very thankful. I am so thankful for the fact that the Lord brought me here and my family here. And I went through the pews and thought about each one of you, starting with you. I'm just so thankful with how the Lord, you know how you get a call or you hear the news or, and here they come. She came, so He came. But look at what He's done. Just look at what He's done. I'm just so glad the Lord has brought us all together. And I'm so humbled by what He's done. I'm just so humbled. I'm humbled by everything that He has done for us physically, yes, but spiritually. And I don't want to say this assumingly, but I'm talking about in me, in us. His work. But I'm just so humbled. I'm humbled by, not only by what He's done locally here in Kingsport, but I'm humbled by everything that He's done collectively with all of His people, wherever He's raised up the gospel. I'm just humbled. I'm humbled that we're a part of it. We have these assemblies that we love. We have these places. You say the name of the town where it has been revealed to you, a man is there who's preaching Jesus Christ crucified, and there are people there who love Jesus Christ crucified. And you hear the town and you think, I love that town. I love the God that's preached in that town. I love what the Lord has done. He's allowed us to be a witness, just like He's raised up all of these other witnesses and all of these other places with all of our other dear brethren. He's allowed us to be a part of them, a part of the ministry, and a part of the kingdom of God. We are a part of the kingdom of God. Just amazing. I'm humbled by it. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. And I say, amen. I say amen. I pray that I will continue as time goes on now. I pray that I will continue to decrease. Being humbled, decrease being humbled by the things that the Lord has done. Seeing what the Lord has done. I pray that we all, as we move forward, now here we go. I pray that we all will continue to decrease. That's what I pray for us. I pray we will decrease, not in wisdom, not in faith, not in love for Christ or love for each other, not in fervency for the gospel or fervency for worship, not in numbers, but in self and in pride. And I pray we will decrease by way of seeing how great things the Lord has done for us. It's just humbling. When you see how great things the Lord has done for us, it's humbling. So humbling. It is not what great things that we have done for the Lord. Really. Put a lot of, you know, that people love to sing a song called Working on a Building. You ever heard that song? I'm working on a building for my Lord. It's not what great things we have done for the Lord. It's what great things the Lord has done for us. I pray that we will decrease and decrease and decrease by way of seeing Him higher and higher and higher. As time goes on, I pray we will see Him higher. Greater, higher. May He be exalted more and more. Just exalted more and more. Now, what I want us to look at for this message is Psalm 145. I want us to so simply go through this psalm verse by verse. And the reason is because what David says right here perfectly expresses this thankfulness and perfectly expresses this desire that I'm feeling. So let's enter into this together by seeing what our brother David wrote right here in Psalm 145. Verse 1, he said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Extol means lift up, raise up. I will exalt thee, my God, O King. I love how that's worded. My God is the King. The King is my God. And he said, I will bless thy name forever and ever. That means bless means, in this particular sense, it means kneel before. I will kneel before thy name. I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will kneel before thy name forever and ever. Does that make you excited at the thought of that? Verse 2 says, every day will I kneel before thee, bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Honestly, I get excited about thinking about that. That makes me happy. That makes me look forward to it. By his grace, by his saving hand, by his work in his chosen people, all because of him, we get to do that now. We, in our heart, kneel before him. We're going to get to do that forever. Forever and ever, it says. We'll get to lift up and kneel before and praise the holy name of our Lord. What is that holy name? Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord Jesus Christ. We just sang, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth, joy of heaven. That's what He is. He is the hope of earth and the joy of heaven. For all eternity, His name will be the name above every name. And we will bow, and we will exalt, and we will lift up. Verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." I love that. Great, greatly, greatness. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. He's so worthy to be praised. His worthiness is unsearchable. Verse 4. "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." One generation shall praise thy works to another. All right? One generation shall praise thy works to another and to another. One generation shall praise thy works to another and to another and to another. Generation to generation. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so humbled by that. I have so much hope for our children. And our children's children. Our Lord has given that to us. I'm so glad our Lord wrote that in His Word. May God be merciful to the next generation. I pray that. I pray the Lord will establish the gospel and be merciful to the next generation. Verse 5. "I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." Honor and majesty. That is language fit for a king. Honor and majesty. He said, "I will speak of the wondrous works." That means the wondrous things, the wondrous words of the king. That's what we have right here. We have the wondrous words of the king. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Verse 6. "And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts." That word "terrible" means full of awe. Awful. Just full of awe. "Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." That's our message, isn't it? His greatness. That's our message, His greatness. This is our worship, His greatness. Verse 7 says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness." And we do, don't we? We abundantly utter the memory of His great goodness. The centerpiece of our worship, the centerpiece of our message, is the remembrance of His great goodness to us. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." The remembrance of His great goodness. What was His great goodness? He removed our sin from us. Every now and then, we get a glimpse of our sin. And in that moment, that's when we enter into the glory of the fact that He removed our sin from us. He removed our sin by wearing our sins and bearing our sins, shedding His blood and dying on a tree to put them all away. You're all a bunch of sinners. You're all a bunch of sinners. I know that because I'm one too. We're all a bunch of sinners. That's what we are. We're sinners. And we know what it's like to wear sin. We know it all too well. We know what it's like to wear sin. But I'll tell you this, we have no idea what it's going to be like to wear righteousness. No idea. We can enter into sin, but one of these days we're going to get to wear righteousness because Christ gave us His. He robed Himself in everything that we despise about ourselves. And He robed us in everything that we love about Him. His glory, His goodness. That was His great goodness to us. That trade before the judgment throne. Our sin, His righteousness. What a great goodness. Verse 7 says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." And we do. Songs of thanksgiving for all of His rightness, all of His perfectness, all of His glory. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." I thought all this while I was studying it, but even as I read it in our scripture reading a minute ago, I thought, this is amazing that this is who our Lord is. It is amazing that this is what it says about our Lord. What a message for sinners. What a message for me and all of my sinful, vile, wretched, miserable sin. 4 points in this one verse message. It's all comfort. It's all good news. It's all the gospel. Number one, the Lord is gracious. Full of grace. He is so giving. It's what grace means. We will find out as time goes on, we will truly find out the Lord is giving and giving and giving. He gives and He gives and He gives. He just keeps giving, freely giving. That's what grace means, freely giving. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Toward who? Who does He have pity on? Sinners. You say, how do you know it's sinners? How do you know He has compassion on sinners? It's because the third point is, He's slow to anger. And the fourth point is, He's great in mercy. And that's who needs mercy, sinners. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." He will have great mercy because He freely gave great blood to great sinners who greatly needed it. He did that to greatly appease an angry God, a holy God. Verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." And He is. The Lord is good to all. The fact that men and women are allowed to breathe air proves that to us. That's His air. His sun shines on the just and the unjust. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. His restraining grace is out there. We're enjoying it just as much as anybody is. He truly is good to all. Man is not good in return, but He truly is good to all, and He's worthy to be praised for that. Verse 10 says, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee." God has a people. He has a particular people, and they truly do bless Him. Again, that means kneel before Him. They truly do bow before Him. They truly do cry, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give all the glory." You have it, we want You to have it. We give You thanks because You have it. Verse 11 says, "They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That's going to be the conversation of heaven. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That's what we're going to talk about for all of eternity. That's what we talk about right now. The glory of his kingdom. All of the glory of his power. It's all his. Verse 12 says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. It's his power, his work, his kingdom. And we want everybody to know it. We want everybody to know it. Salvation is of the Lord. We want to tell everybody that. We want all the sons of men to know. There's a song that I learned as a child, and I'm sure you learned it too. You know the song. The song says, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who he is. Verse 12 says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Have you ever had the thought, I wonder how long eternity really is? You ever had that thought? Will it ever end? Does it give you much happiness to know it is an everlasting kingdom? Of his kingdom there shall be no end. That makes me happy. Makes me thankful. I'm so happy and I'm so thankful every time I hear this. Look at verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Again, are you just amazed by everything it's saying about our God? Who he is? The Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. That is so wonderful. Because of the nature of our sin, we are going to fall. Wait for it. We're going to be bowed down. But if we're his children, he will pick us up every single time. Verse 14 says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all. And that's all who have been given eyes to see. Outside of Christ, men and women are blind and they can't see. But if God has given eyes to see, the eyes of all wait upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. Everything is from him. Everything is of him. Everything is through him. Everything is to him. This is our message. It's all to him. It's all of him. To him be all the glory for everything. Christ is all in everything. Verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. To that I say, amen. Amen. Everything that he does is good and right and perfect. May he let us remember that as things happen. And, you know, I mentioned our dear brethren here. Everything that our Lord does is right. Sometimes it's painful, but it's right. It's good. It's perfect. Everything that he does is perfect. And if you have a center margin in your Bible, you'll see that the word holy translates merciful, bountiful. Oh, how merciful. Oh, how merciful. Bountiful in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. Verse 18 says, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. What is it to call upon the Lord in truth? It's to call as a sinner who has nothing and needs everything. That's what it is to call on Him in truth. If we're going to be honest before Him in truth, it's to call as a sinner who has nothing and needs everything. I need everything from You. Verse 19 says, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. He will fulfill. He will hear. He will save. He will do all these things. The Lord will do all these things. Everything that's needed, He'll do every bit of it. Verse 20 says, The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. Who are the ones that love Him? Who are the ones that love Him? It's all of those who have had their wickedness covered in His blood. We're all wicked. We're all wicked in our nature. But we love Him because He first loved us. And every soul who understands that all of his wickedness has been covered in the blood of the Lamb, that soul loves Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, if we're left to ourselves, there's no hope. But in Christ, in the blood, but for the grace of God, it'd be all of us. God's grace is the only thing that's made the difference. So verse 21 says, My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. By God's grace, our mouths shall speak the praise of the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him forever. Forever. Let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Because of His mercy and His grace, that's all we can speak of. What do we have that He hadn't given to us? What has He accomplished? What has been accomplished that He hadn't done? We owe everything to Him. We owe every single thing to Him. Let's remember that. Let's not ever forget that. Let's tell our children that. Generation to generation, let's tell our children that. Let's tell everybody that. May God allow us to lift up and bow before the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Forever and ever. I want to say, for myself, standing right here, as I have been now for 10 years, I just want to say thank You, Lord, for everything You've done. Really. Thank You for everything You've done. As we leave this place, whether that's, you know, we'll find out tomorrow. This could be the last message here. And I live here. This is my home. I spend more time here than I do at my own home. So it may be a little more nostalgic to me than anybody else. But whether it's tomorrow, next week, whenever it is, I want to leave this place saying, thank You, Lord, for everything You've done. I just want to walk out with that statement. All praise to You and glory to You. Thank You for everything You've done. And would You continue to have Your hand on us? Would You do for us there what You've done for us here? Be merciful. Don't leave us. We'll just stay grateful. We'll just continue to be grateful. Here and Lord willing forever. Thank you for everything you've done. All right, let's all stand together.